A reading from 1 Samuel chapter 28, verses 7 and 8. So Saul said to his servants, "Find me a woman who communicates with ghosts. I'll then go to her and ask by using her techniques." "There is such a medium in Endor," his servants replied. So Saul disguised himself, dressing in different clothes. Then he and two men set out, going to the woman at the night time. "Please call up a ghost for me." "Bring me the one I specify," Saul said. The woman approached Saul, and after seeing how scared he was, she said, "Listen, your servant has obeyed you. I risked my life and did what you told me to do. Now it's your turn to listen to me, your servant. Let me give you a bit of food. Eat it, then you'll have the strength to go on your way." But Saul refused. "I can't eat it. I can't eat," he said. But his servants and the woman urged him to do so, and so he did. He got up off the ground and sat on a couch. The woman had a fattened calf in the house, and she quickly butchered it. She took flour, kneaded it, and baked unleavened bread. She served this to Saul and his servants, and they ate. They got up and left that very night.
Well, our summer series has sure been interesting. I hope you have enjoyed choosing most of our songs, and I'm still very intrigued by your selection of biblical characters. Now, sure, we've had some familiar ones, Abraham and Sarah, Daniel, Gabriel, a couple of Marys. Good stuff. And then there was last week, which our able associate Pastor Kenny whined about a little, accusing me of using my seniority and first right of refusal to assign him the story of the talking donkey. But wow, my friends, did Kenny hit a home run last week with that sermon? It's on YouTube. If you haven't seen it, pull it up. But lest there be a question as to who drew the short straw, I want to thank Ron Johnson for suggesting today's character, the Witch of Endor. I mean, really, how many of you have even heard of this story? Marcia, Carol, Kenny, a few that have been to seminary. Nothing for me like a little midsummer biblical study in exegesis while I'm trying to relax a little bit, Ron. And to be perfectly honest, I only remember a quick read over of this story in seminary, and honestly, I'm pretty sure I paid no attention to it either before or after seminary. And yet, like so many of the hidden characters in the Bible, this story is rich with meaning and lessons, too many to cover in one sermon. Put aside that for whatever reason I drew the witch card, dive in a bit with me into this story with all its very unusual surroundings. Now, I only chose to have Anthony read a few verses, but if you really want to reflect on today's scripture, go home and read the entire chapter 28 of 1 Samuel. You'll have to remind yourself you're reading the Bible because there's really some weird stuff going on in the story. I'm going to give you the cliff notes, okay? Samuel takes up two books of the Bible, 1 and 2 Samuel, and traces Israel's transition between judges to a monarchy, including stories of their first king, Saul, and their second king, David. And for the record, Samuel is also where we find the love affair, hear me right, the love affair between David and Jonathan. Not often highlighted by our conservative-minded brothers and sisters. But you can find that story's climax in 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 5, and again in 2 Samuel 1, 26. That's a different sermon. But someday, trust me, we'll hit that one too. Here we are, though, with Saul, who as king becomes afraid at the overwhelming sight of the Philistines, who were intent to destroy Israel. Samuel, the prophet, has died, and coupled with the loss of Samuel's prophecy and Saul's estrangement from God, Saul felt like he was on his own. Ever felt that way? Verse 1 says, Saul has expelled the mediums and the wizards from the land. In other words, Saul had made an administrative decision about who he was and was not going to listen to. Does that sound familiar for a king acting person we might know today? Except when stuff started to hit the fan, i.e. the enemy began to surround Saul, he found himself desperate. He found himself in need of the very types of people he had expelled from the land. So Saul asked his servants to find him a woman who's a medium, known in the ancient community as a witch. And then Saul disguises himself and goes to meet her. Far be it for Saul to admit that he'd made a huge mistake and just be authentic enough and put his pride aside and just go find the woman himself and ask for help. Well, enters the woman, the medium who lived in the town of Endor, hence the witch of Endor. In fact, I'm going to take some liberty here and just refer to my witchy sister as Endor. So Endor doesn't trust Saul. Who knows, she may have been one of the ones he expelled. Initially, Endor refuses to help Saul, reminding this disguised man that King Saul had expelled mediums and wizards from the land, and so she would be risking her life. The man in disguise, we know it to be Saul, assures Endor that no harm will come to her, and he asks her to summon the spirit of Samuel, the prophet who had been so reliable to the Israelites before the kings took over. Once again, there's a trend here, isn't there? Arrogance and pride and greed causing those in power to ignore important parts of the community. Endor does connect Saul with Samuel. And Samuel tells Saul, who at this time is fessed up to who he really is, Samuel tells Saul that because Saul had listened to God, God would give the kingdom to David and that Saul and his men would be killed. And indeed, if you read through Samuel, that's what happened. At this news, Saul becomes so distraught that he refuses to eat. And Endor comes to Saul and says, you got to eat. And after some convincing from her and Saul's servants, he does eat. And he eats food prepared by Endor. After eating, he and his servants went on their way. Let's look at just a couple of lessons. First, the very folks that Saul dismissed and sent out to fend for themselves were the ones he ended up needing the most. Endor could have denied Saul even after she was assured she'd live if she helped him. But she took a risk to help what appeared to be not a king, but a total stranger. Remember, Saul was disguised initially. And then not only did she help him by connecting him with Samuel's spirit, but once she found out who Saul was, this king who had expelled folks like her from the country, she was the one who prepared the meal and fed Saul when he was ready to give up. She encouraged him to live another day. For at least that day, Endor's persuasion kept Saul keeping on. So, call her a witch if you want. I call her an angel. For she helped someone who had oppressed her and those like her. Friends, that's hard. That's really hard. In our country today, specifically, we see just how hard it is to work with those with whom we have such striking differences and disagreements. I've talked to some very smart, and very compassionate and very passionate people who have been in this world a lot longer than I have. And they share they've never seen our country in such division. With what seems like an inability disguised as an unwillingness to find some way to work together to solve the important issues of our day. This week, my heart broke and my feelings of anger rose as I heard, like the rest of the country, of the ban on transgender members of our armed forces. That was followed the next day by the announcement by our Attorney General filing a brief which stated that the LGBT community was not protected from employment discrimination. We thought that the first issue was resolved when former President Obama's executive order that had bipartisan support in Congress and overwhelming support of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Yet with the key in of a tweet, that progress was undone. And our transgender brothers and sisters left to wonder, what next? That afternoon, my cell phone was blowing up from transgender folks in our community in tears, asking, what do you think's going to happen? As for the brief filed by Attorney General Sessions, many of us hope that instead of continued discrimination supported by federal law, we would finally be added to a federal protected class, so that who one loves cannot be used to fire, evict, or refuse service at a business or restaurant. You think we don't have folks being expelled from our communities? In 2 weeks, I will have the honor of officiating the wedding of a dear friend of mine's daughter. She's like family to me. In truth, we became family as she has cleaned our house now for over 10 years. Maria has a key to our home and we trust her completely. And we've been thrilled to participate in her journey of becoming a U.S. citizen. In her stories, I've heard about the corruption in Mexico, how difficult it really is to come to the United States in the right way, about what happens to little girls on the other side of the border, and Maria has three of them. Maria became the face of immigration to me, and my relationship with her completely changed my mind about that issue. Brent and I will be so proud to celebrate with her soon. She can finally be embraced legally by a country, one in which she has lived and worked and raised three amazing daughters for well over 20 years. And I will share this sacred time of matrimony with Maria's daughter, Michelle, and her fiancé, Muhammad. As you might have guessed, Muhammad is Muslim. His family from Palestine. His father serves overseas in the Navy while Muhammad tends to his mom here in Lexington. Michelle is the second daughter of Maria, and I've been blessed to be a part of her life. Maria and Michelle are Jehovah's Witnesses. However, Michelle was disassociated from the church when she began dating Muhammad. So, just picture this a bit with thought to all that is going to be happening in 2 weeks. A lesbian Christian minister is officiating the wedding between an expelled Hispanic Jehovah Witness and an Arabic Muslim from Palestine. If that picture is not loaded with possibility for coming together across differences for what is sure to be a sacred experience, I don't know what is. across cultures, across ideologies, across faith traditions. This picture of three expelled individuals in their own way, forming a relationship cemented by a moment that we will never forget. Another lesson we should learn that Saul could have is that we should be really careful to accept and embrace the gifts of those different from us and not so quick to dismiss them, literally and figuratively. You know, when I was first beginning my career, I'll never forget the advice of my parents. And one particular statement they made is this. Now, Marcia, as you climb up the ladder, don't ever forget who you are. And don't ever step on someone else to move up. Because you never know what will happen. And you might just meet them on your way down. Now, I'd like to think I would treat folks right just because it's the correct way to act. Yet I have to admit there's been a time or two, or three, or more, when I wanted to say to someone who had mistreated me or questioned my ability, watch this move. And then I would remember my parents' advice. And believe it or not, I'd keep my mouth shut. At the most desperate and critical point of his life, Saul ended up needing the help of someone he had expelled from society. Saul needed the witch of Endor, and she was there for him. And as Israel moved from prophets to king, Saul also yearned deeply for the advice of the prophet Samuel, the likes of which Saul thought were useless, and that's how Saul became king. Friends, as we move towards trying to do our part in reconciliation, whether that be in our country, in our community, in our church, with our family and friends, in our intimate relationships, we might remember these lessons from the mouths of a witch and a prophet. Strikingly familiar to the words from another prophet we claim to follow, welcome the stranger. Pray for your enemies. Advocate for the marginalized. And find common ground in the kinship of one creator. A lesbian Christian minister. A Hispanic Jehovah Witness. An Arabic Muslim from Palestine. A king. A witch. A prophet. Who would have thought we might need one another? Who would have thought we might learn from one another? Who would have thought we might love one another? That we might see Jesus in one another? That we might be Jesus to one another? Who in the world would have thought?
Some call her a sinner, some call her a saint. It's not my business what she is or ain't. The labels and you'll see what I see, 'cause she's always been Jesus to me. Some nights you might find him with a drink in his hand. He's rough around the edges, but what I don't understand, why folks can't look past the surface to the fruit on the tree, 'cause he's always been Jesus to me. And though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, news. Without love, I got nothing to say. And if I give all I have to the poor and forgotten, without love, I give nothing away. Look past the labels and you'll see what I see. She's always been Jesus to me. And though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, without love I got nothing to say. And if I give all I have to the poor and forgotten, without love I give nothing away. Folks don't care about the name on the sign at your church, which way you vote, or all your good works. They say all I want to know about your theology is, can you be Jesus to me? Oh, won't you be Jesus to me? You be Jesus to me.